This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Sandra Birchmore wanted to be a cop. That is the detail that should hit you first, before the crime scene photos and the federal indictment and the surveillance footage and all that stuff, before the DNA evidence and the superseding charges and the political fallout. Before any of that, there was a 12-year-old girl in Stoughton, Massachusetts, who looked at the police officers in her community and saw exactly what she wanted to become. Or so she thought. She filled out the application for the Stoughton Police Explorers program because she believed in the uniform. She believed the adults who wore it were the kind of people who protect other people. She was wrong. The men who ran that program would spend the next decade grooming her, exploiting her, and ultimately destroying her. By the time she was 23, Sandra Birchmore would be found dead in her Canton apartment, staged to look like she'd taken her own life, allegedly. She was 3 months pregnant. This is her story. And over the course of this 5-part series, we're going to tell all of it. The grooming, the exploitation, the pregnancy, the night she was killed, the investigation that looked the other way or just didn't really even take place. Because too many people in the Stoughton police offices, in the Stoughton Police Department, appear to be allegedly involved in this. And it's better if she just disappears into the ether than anybody be held accountable, in my opinion. And the federal case, it is finally heading to trial because it took federal authorities to go in and go, what the hell are you guys doing here? To understand how Sandra ended up in that apartment, you need to understand who she was before they got that far. And that's what we're going to get into today in our first piece of this 5-part series. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Love for you to weigh in. Links are in the description. She grew up in Stowe and raised by a chronically ill single mother. Her grandmother had passed when Sandra was young. Her mother, Denise, died of a stroke in 2016 when Sandra was still a teenager. Her favorite aunt, Alice, died in 2019. And by her early 20s, every adult who might have shielded Sandra from the world was gone. She had emotional and mental health challenges from a young age, the kind that can make you vulnerable if the wrong people are paying attention. And she deeply respected authority figures, particularly police officers. She didn't just like the cops. She admired them the way some kids admire athletes or astronauts. For Sandra, the badge was everything. It represented structure, safety, the kind of life she wanted to build for herself. That's what makes the story so sick, are these mother effers that preyed on her when she really had such genuine, pure intent of bettering herself and helping others. And the worst of the worst saw her nothing more than an F toy. So when she joined the Explorers program at 12, it made perfect sense. The program was designed as a mentorship pipeline, a quasi paramilitary youth organization created by what was then known as the Boy Scouts, meant to expose young people to law enforcement careers, give them structure, give them a path, give them adult role models who would guide them towards something meaningful. In theory, not a bad thing if not run by monsters. Sandra applied in 2010. She was 12 years old. Robert Devine, a veteran Stoughton police officer who would eventually rise to deputy chief, created and ran the program. The Farwell twins, Matthew and William, they were instructors. Sandra remained in the program through 2016, 6 years of regular contact with these men during some of the most formative years of her life. She walked in at 12 years old and found what she'd been searching for her entire childhood: belonging, a community, adults who paid attention to her, asked about her life, made her feel valued and seen. For a girl who had lost so many of the adults she depended on, the Explorers program filled a void that left her profoundly vulnerable. That belonging was engineered from the very beginning, and it was never designed to help her. Matthew Farwell was 25 years old when he met Sandra, or met 12-year-old Sandra. Let's be real about when they met. 12-year-old Sandra. According to federal prosecutors, he began spending time with her outside the program almost immediately. He met her at the Stoughton Public Library under the pretense of academic tutoring. He befriended her on Facebook, and when she was 15 and he was 26, he was grooming her in plain sight, using the language of mentorship to build the kind of trust that would give him access. And it worked. By the time Sandra was 15, according to federal prosecutors, Farwell committed, against a minor. Text messages later uncovered during the investigation show Farwell acknowledged that he took Sandra's in April of 2013. She was 15. He was 27. That's not a gray area. Under Massachusetts law, the age of consent is 16. What Farwell did was a crime the moment it happened, and he knew it. Now, here's a detail that makes this even harder to stomach. 1 month after taking a 15-year-old girl's... Matthew Farwell married his wife. 1 month. That timeline sit for a moment. A man standing at his own wedding, surrounded by family and friends, celebrating the start of his married life, had already been essaying a child for quite some time. And the exploitation didn't end with the wedding. According to prosecutors, the S relationship continued for nearly a decade. Nearly a decade. From the time Sandra was 15 until she was 23, Farwell allegedly maintained that relationship with a woman he had groomed since she was 12. He would text her to sneak away from his police shifts to meet her. He had contact with her while he was on duty as a Stoughton police officer. His badge wasn't just his cover, it was his tool. But Matthew Farwell was not the only man that the department used. Matthew Farwell was not the only man in that department who used Sandra Birchmore, allegedly. And this is a part of the story that takes it from disturbing to systematic. His twin brother, you can't make this shit up, William Farwell, also an officer and an Explorers instructor, admitted in 2021 to having an S relationship with her. But the details that emerged through post-commission proceedings go far beyond a single admission. William exchanged messages of a certain nature with Sandra, including photographs and videos. The Post Commission accused William of encouraging Sandra to secretly record her own S encounters and send the photos and videos to him. Big C was allegedly sending videos of his own encounters, even with other people, allegedly, to her. Let that one register. An officer who met Sandra through a youth mentoring program was allegedly directing her to produce explicit material of herself with other people and send it to him. This wasn't a relationship. This was orchestrated exploitation, and it involved surveillance and control that goes well beyond what most people imagine when they hear about police misconduct or the Children's Explorer Program. Oh, and then there's Robert Devine, the supervisor, the architect, the man who created the Explorers Program in the first place and was supposed to be the most senior adult in the room. According to post-commission findings, Devine began engaging in what the commission described as inappropriate suggestive conduct with Sandra when she was still a participant in the Explorers Program. By 2020, according to Post records, he was having full-fledged encounters with her at various locations. He communicated with Sandra using the alias Marty Riggs on social media, a reference to the Lethal Weapons character. He coordinated encounters with her while he was on duty in December of 2020, messaging her through that alias to set it up. When confronted during the department's internal affairs investigation, Devine denied everything. He claimed he had never had that sort of contact with Sandra. He claims he never used the alias. He claimed he never communicated with her electronically. The Post Commission found all of that to be rather untrue. But wait, there's more. Because when there's one monster, there's many. The birds of a feather. Anytime you see one single human being surrounded by a bunch of people like this, it's a red flag. It's what you'd call a sign. And there was Joshua Heal, a former animal control officer who later became a police officer and a school resource officer in Abington. He met Sandra when she came to the animal shelter to adopt a cat. He acknowledged a single S encounter with her after hours at the shelter. He later became one of her few confidants, someone she talked to about the Farwell brothers, about Divine, about the tangled reality of a life that had been shaped by exploitation since she was a child. Heal resigned from the Abington Police Department in 2023, and public school officials subsequently contacted police about messages he had exchanged with a female high school student using a social media account he created for a police dog. The Post Commission has initiated proceedings against him. The pattern is relentless. Everywhere Sandra turned for connection, for trust, for guidance, she found another person in a position of authority who was willing to cross lines, allegedly. The lawyer for Sandra's estate put it as plainly as anyone has at the court hearing. These officers passed her around like she was a toy. That phrase should burn because it's accurate. Sandra entered a youth program run by a police department at 12 years old, and multiple adults inside the department used her over the span of a decade. Not one of them reported the other. Not one of them intervened. Not one of them raised a hand and said, maybe the girl who tried her explorer program as a child shouldn't be a target for multiple sworn officers. I don't know, just a thought. The silence was universal, and it protected everyone except the person who needed protection most. The most revealing moment in the chapter of the story came during Robert Divine's disciplinary hearing before the Post Commission. The hearing videos were made public in 2025, more than 15 hours of testimony. Under oath, Divine testified that Sandra pretty much lied about everything, he said. He claimed she propositioned him for that. He described a scene in which Sandra allegedly drove up to his police cruiser in a church parking lot and asked him why he wouldn't just give in. He referenced her relationships with the Farwell brothers as evidence that she was the initiator, the pursuer, the one pulling the strings. He told the hearing officer, my name has been dragged through the mud for 3 years for something I didn't do. Classic predator reversal. The man who ran the youth program she joined as a child, who the Post Commission found had leveraged his position of power over a vulnerable young woman for years, sat under oath and rewrote the story so that the person with no power became the one in control. It's the oldest play in the Predator Handbook. Blame the victim. Make her the aggressor. Pretend you're just the victim who couldn't say no. Pretend that a 12-year-old who walked into your program full of admiration for law enforcement somehow manipulated a deputy chief into an inappropriate relationship. The Post Commission didn't buy it. Their 30-page ruling stated that Divine was in a position of power over Sandra when he met her as a middle school student, and that he leveraged that position to develop a relationship that eventually became very inappropriate. Divine was decertified in December of 25, permanently barred from serving as a police officer in Massachusetts. His decertification was reported to a national database used by law enforcement officials across the country. William Farwell was decertified in September of 24. Matthew Farwell was voluntarily decertified in March of 24, though by then, decertification was the least of his concerns. Here's what stays with me about this part of Sandra's story, and what I think should stay with you. Sandra enrolled in the Stone Police Explorers program because she believed in the institution. She wanted to serve, she wanted to protect, she wanted to belong. Multiple adults inside that institution looked at a child who walked in with admiration and trust, and they decided she was something to consume. The internal affairs investigation that eventually uncovered these relationships didn't happen until 2022, 19 months after Sandra was found dead. Not while she was alive and could have been protected. Not while she was a minor and the system could have intervened. Not while she was in the program, sitting in a room where the men who were exploiting her Other officers walked past and didn't ask questions. It happened after she was gone, when it was far too late to help her, when the only thing left to do was document what everyone should have stopped. How many people in that department knew what was happening to Sandra Birchmore? How many saw a middle schooler spending private time with adult officers and decided it wasn't their business? How many heard rumors, noticed the patterns, watched a vulnerable girl get pulled deeper into something that looked wrong and chose to look the other way? We don't have the full answer to that yet. What we know is that no one stopped it. And what happened next in the final weeks of Sandra's life was a direct consequence of everything these men set in motion when she was still a child. In part two, Sandra's pregnant. She's making plans. She's contacting lawyers. She's ready to talk. And when someone finally reports Farwell to his own department, the department tells him, what happened in the 30 days before Sandra's death will change how you see this entire case. That's coming up next. Press subscribe so you don't miss it. And give us your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. If you've been wanting a full account of what happened here in this story to where we are today, you found it. This is a 5-part series. All week, we're going to be going through it. Again, press subscribe so you don't miss it. I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.